A few moments ago, Michael mentioned the fact that our Columbia School of Preaching and Biblical Studies is going to start right away. That'll be the first Thursday night in August. There'll be two classes. Brother Woodson will be teaching a class really dealing with the restoration movement that I think any of us would find very interesting. That'll be from about 6 to 7. And then a good study on just how to study the Bible that Brother Morrison will be teaching from 7 to 8. And attend both of them, either one of them. But I really wish I could encourage more of our own members here at Graymere to take advantage of that. We have people coming from a number of congregations all around the county and even out of this county. But it's a good study, and if you have opportunity, I think you would enjoy being a part of that. Righteousness. When's the last time you used the word righteousness in a sentence? We all know what righteousness is. We, I'm sure, all would think of ourselves basically as being righteous people, but we really don't talk a lot about righteousness. It's the idea of being right according to a particular standard. Well, Jesus had a lot to say about righteousness. In fact, you'll find throughout the Bible the subject of righteousness is dealt with. Now, depending on which translation you may be using, in the word righteousness appears about 300 times, a little more than that in the King James Version, a little less in the NIV, but approximately 300 times you'll find the word righteous. So obviously it is a matter that is of some importance, and again, since we have so little of what our Lord said recorded, and He talked about this subject, again, it ought to be of some importance to us as well. So now I'm reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the 20th verse. For I say unto you, and I think the very fact that the Lord is saying this to us ought to make us take notice. Jesus is saying, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a rather profound statement. He's saying, if you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. If our righteousness is no better than that of the scribes and the Pharisees of his day, you're just not going to heaven, he says. Well, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was really not based on the law of Moses because they didn't keep it very well. But primarily the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was based upon their standard of living and traditions that had been added to that over the years. Well, the Lord condemned those people in no uncertain terms. And he says in so many words, they are a bad lot. And you've got to do better than they do. Now, the sad thing is that you do find a number of people, maybe a great many people who are living in the world today, who still kind of follow the attitude and the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, tonight, we don't want to be guilty of doing that. It's too important from what Jesus has said here. So let's just think a little bit about what did he say about their righteousness. We think we're righteous. We think we're right. They thought they were, I suppose. Now, who were they to begin with? Well, the scribes were those who copied the law. Obviously, no printing presses, and so every copy of the scriptures had to be hand-copied. And since these people copied it over and over again, scribes, they should have known the law. And they are sometimes called lawyers, simply by the fact that they should know the law from reading it and copying it so many different times. On the other hand, the Pharisees, very strict religious sect of the Jews, and they demanded a rigid adherence to the law of Moses. Now, usually when we think about those two groups, we also kind of throw in the Sadducees. We're not really so much interested in the Sadducees tonight, but the Sadducees were another, obviously, religious sect. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. So they were a completely different group. But in this passage that we've chosen as a text, the Lord is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, the remainder of the lesson, at least for the most part tonight, is going to be taken from Matthew 23. So if you'd like to turn over to that chapter and just kind of follow along with what we're trying to look at tonight, you might find that helpful. Matthew 23, and let's start with verse 1. Now, the Lord's still talking to these two groups of people. Matthew 23:1. Then spake Jesus, saying, I'm going to skip a few words in there just for the sake of our time. Then spake Jesus, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now he mentions the seed of Moses. The seed of Moses simply means these people set themselves up as expounders of the law. They were the teachers of the people. They were supposed to be teaching the law that God had given through Moses. Now, the law of Moses was still in force at this time. Jesus lived and died under the law. And he lived according to the law, he kept the law, and he encouraged others to keep that law of Moses. But he's saying that the scribes and the Pharisees, who were demanding that others keep that law, really did not keep it themselves. Now, a term that we use sometime today is they didn't practice what they preached. And so Jesus said what they're saying basically is all right. Listen to them, but don't follow their example. And so for that, he criticized them. But every Christian, all of us, ought to be teachers, not of the law of Moses, but teachers in the sense that we teach others about Christ and the gospel of Christ. But at the same time, we need to be very sure that we are practicing what we preach. It's obviously not just the person who might stand in the pulpit, but every Christian. There's not a greater sermon that can be preached than the godly, righteous life of a Christian. That example is so powerful. And it's sad that sometimes people might be able to say, well, what you do makes so much noise, I can't hear what you say. What we say and what we do ought to be in harmony with each other. But that wasn't true of the Pharisees. Jesus said to us, why call you me Lord, Lord? That's what we've been doing tonight. We've been singing about it. We read about it. We pray to him. But he said, why call me Lord, Lord, and then do not what I say? Well, that's what the Pharisees were doing. And James makes this statement in James 1 in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And then he added another thought that really ought to make us think. In James the 4th chapter in the 17th verse, he said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Now, I don't have much doubt that all of us who are here tonight know what to do. We've studied the Bible enough ourselves. We've been in enough classes where we've studied it and heard a lot of sermons. And we know. But the scary thing is, he said, if you know it and you don't do it, that's sin. And that was another reason he was condemning the Pharisees. They knew. They were preaching it. They were teaching it correctly in most instances. But they just did not keep it. And so our righteousness, he's saying, Jesus is saying, it had better be above that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now drop down to verse 4 of that 23rd chapter. Here's something else the Lord condemned them for. He said, they bind heavy burdens on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. Well, that's kind of like overloading some poor animal. Just put a tremendous load on the animal, burden him down, and the Lord was saying, you burden the people down. You just overload them. But you won't even use a finger to help them. And at the same time, you're not keeping it yourself. You call upon the people to make heavy sacrifices. You call on them to keep the law of Moses. You call on them to give and to sacrifice of their property, and on it goes. And you require of them a very rigorous adherence to the law of Moses. But you don't do it. And you won't even help them with your finger to do that. Now, Peter on another occasion talked about what a burden this old law of Moses was. He said, referring to the burden of the law, now therefore, why make ye trial of God, that ye should put a yoke upon the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Well, it was a heavy burden. But now somehow all of this has got to apply to us. If we're just talking about what happened to them, it's not of great value. So how does this apply to us in our living as Christians? Well, what do you think about a fellow that will argue? Maybe he's standing on the street corner talking to somebody, and he'll argue to his last breath that it is necessary for one to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And then he shows up for worship two or three times a week, goes off other places when he wants to, forsakes the assembly, doesn't take it himself. He's saying something that may be correct, but he's not doing it himself. Sometimes there are those of us who do things like that. Or maybe it's somebody in a class. Maybe it's a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night class. And they'll vehemently say that as Christians, we ought to give liberally as we've purposed in our heart and as we've prospered. We're to give liberally so that the work of the Lord can carry on. But he doesn't give anything to amount to anything. He just gives a pittance. But he'll tell everybody else they ought to be doing it. But he doesn't do it himself. Or here's a fellow that will condemn others, just be ready to condemn others and call them hypocrites. But he lives a poor Christian life himself. He tells others how they ought to be living, but if you look at his life, he's not living it. Well, that's what the Lord was saying about these people. And sometimes those people that are so adamant about other people being faithful to the Lord won't even lift a finger to help anybody else. And so no wonder the Lord condemned them. And if we do that, we're no better than the Pharisees that the Lord was condemning on that occasion. Remember what he's saying now is our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, drop down to verse 5 now. Matthew 23:5. But all their works, Jesus said, they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries. And then a few words later, they love the chief seats in the synagogue and the salutations in the marketplace and to be called by men rabbi. Well, whatever they do it for their own reputation. They do it for their own praise. They do it for their own glory, not for the glory of God or for the good of humanity. And he talks about these phylacteries. You know, they write the scriptures on the edge of their garments and the sleeves and on the foot of the robes that they would wear. Oh, they're religious. They write the scriptures and they want everybody to know how pious and how religious and how good they are. But again, they don't really live it. Kind of like the fellow that today may quote all kinds of scripture, but he doesn't live it himself. And then he talks about the Pharisees, and he said, when they get ready to do some alms or some benevolent work, they blow a trumpet. I don't guess they literally blew a trumpet, but they call attention to themselves. Look what I'm doing. Look at how benevolent and how gracious I am and the alms that I'm giving to others. You know, the Lord said on another occasion, people like that have already received their reward. The reward they get is going to be the praise they get from people and not from the Lord. And then he said, they love the seats of honor, the chief seats at the feast. They want to sit at the speaker's table. They want to get up front where everybody can see them. And they want to call attention to themselves. And then he talks about the salutations. When they go into the marketplace, they like to hear the honor and the long formal salutations that people would give them in the marketplace. And they want everybody to see them. Call them rabbi. Kind of like some today want to be called reverend, want to be called doctors of divinity, and just to wear a title in order to be praised by men. But now, you know, really, brethren, there's no greater honor that we can have than to be called brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't need great salutations with each other. We're brothers and sisters. And to be able to be a child of God, what could be greater than that? Well, the Pharisees weren't satisfied, and they wanted everybody to look at them and talk about how great and good they were. And the Lord said, you don't want to be like that. Your righteousness has got to exceed that. Then turning now, if you want to turn back with me to Mark, I'm going to read a passage from the 7th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 5th verse, where the Lord is talking about these Pharisees. Mark 7, beginning with verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? Notice the traditions of the elders. but eat bread with unwashed hands. And he said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your traditions. Well, the traditions to them was the most important thing. Traditions were those things that the Jews had handed down and had made a part of their religion. And basically, these were things that the law of Moses did not require. But they had brought it in, and it was more important to them than actually what the law said. For instance, he mentions here washing their hands before they eat. That makes good sense for somebody to wash your hands before you eat, but it's not a sin to eat with dirty hands. May not be good judgment, but it's not a sin to do that, religiously speaking. But these people were saying, you've got to wash your hands before you eat, or it is a sin. They had made that tradition a part of the law, which it really was not. And so Jesus said of the Jews, this people honoreth me with their lips. That sounds good. We need to say the right things. But he said, in vain do they worship me. And isn't that interesting? They were worshiping him. It wasn't that they were off worshiping Baal or somebody. They were worshiping the Lord or God. But he said, it's in vain. And if it's in vain, then it's worthless. It's useless. It's no account. So he said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Well, these traditions that had been handed down was part of what he meant in that passage. But men still try to serve God by their traditions. And I hope you know me well enough to know I don't want to be sarcastic or trying to be ugly to anybody, but when you start talking about some of these traditions, you'd have to include sprinkling. Sprinkling babies, sprinkling adults. There's not one word in all the Bible from Matthew to Revelation that talks about people being sprinkled for the remission of their sins. But it is a tradition, a very well-accepted tradition that has been handed down from many people. I remember one time here in this auditorium years ago, a preacher for another religious group came in, and he saw the baptistry, and he said, you know, I really wish we were immersing for baptism. He happened to be with a group that sprinkled. He knew better, but he wasn't going to go against the traditions of that religious group for which he preached. But there are traditions that become so important to people, and they wouldn't give them up for anything. And again, this matter of using an instrument in worship, I mean, well, there's a lot of controversy going on even in the Lord's church today, but it's a tradition if you use it. As far as the Lord's church is concerned, it began in a church up in Kentucky. It's just a tradition. You don't have any scripture for that. But people wouldn't give that up for anything. And really, you think about Christmas and Easter as religious days, you can't really justify that according to the Scripture to make a religious thing out of it. And when we observe these things and let them interfere with our service to God, we're condemned right along with the scribes and the Pharisees. Again, the Lord's warning us, He's telling us, be careful, your righteousness has got to be more than the righteousness of these people. And a lot of what they were doing was simply a matter of tradition. Well, again, the scribes and the Pharisees were condemned by the Lord because of their self-righteousness. That is, they were righteous in their own eyes. They thought they were good. They thought they were so great. And you remember in the 18th chapter of Luke, the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray, and he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. And then there was, of course, as you remember, the publican was in there praying too. And he said, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of men and not like this publican over here. And Jesus was the one talking about this. And Jesus himself said, the publican went home justified rather than the Pharisee. The Pharisee was just self-righteous. Some of you probably heard me quote Brother Goodpasture. It just tickles me sometimes to think about it. Brother Goodpast, you said one time, don't you just hate to see somebody that's so self-righteous they have to hold on to something to keep from just floating right on up to heaven right now? Well, there are some that just feel like they're going to go right on. But we need to be careful that we're not self-righteous. We need to be righteous in the sight of God. And I think also of Paul's warning, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You get to thinking you got it made and you're just so good, be careful, you might fall. And on another occasion, Paul was talking in the Galatian letter in the 6th chapter, and he said, brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And then notice how he ends that statement. Looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, be careful. You help somebody else when they have stumbled and fallen, because next time it may be you. And sometimes we don't think we'd ever fall. And maybe we even kind of look down on somebody that does come back to the Lord, and we say they shouldn't have done that. Well, they shouldn't have probably, but the next time it may be you or me. So this idea of self-righteousness, we need to be awfully careful, because this is what the Lord is saying to us. Don't be self-righteous. We ought to be careful what we think and what we talk about the shortcomings of others. I'm not saying let's wink at sin, let's overlook the sin of each other. But be real careful what we say and what we think, because the next time it may be us. And we may be condemned and that person justified. Isn't that what the Lord meant one time when he talked about a man with a beam in his eye trying to pick the speck out of somebody else's eye? Don't be self-righteous. Let's not be like the Pharisees. And then he said, and this is going back to Matthew 23 now, and we're in verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Can you imagine what folks would think and do and say about a preacher today that would get up and condemn people and who are very obviously hypocrites and would say to them, woe to you, hypocrites! We have to be politically correct today and don't ever say anything that's going to offend anybody. Well, we're not trying to offend anybody, but we better teach the truth. And the Lord didn't hesitate. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye enter not in yourselves, and neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter. In other words, he was saying they refuse to become Christians themselves. They refuse to obey the Lord, and they don't want anybody else to. And they try to shut the door, as it were, to keep others from entering. And it's sad, sometimes there are people like that today. They don't want to obey the gospel. And they'll get on television, they'll do a lot of things to try to keep other people from obeying the gospel as well, from obeying the Lord. Well, when you think about what the Lord said about these people and why he condemned them, he said the scribes and the Pharisees call them hypocrites because they say and they do not, because they place heavy burdens on the people, but they don't keep the law and they won't help others keep it, won't even lift a finger. And they do their works to be seen of men. And they make void God's word by their traditions. And likewise, he said, they were self-righteous. And they shut the kingdom from others and won't enter and don't want others to. Well, maybe we ought to look around ourselves sometime in this day and see that in some instances, human nature hasn't changed a great deal. And we sure want to be sure that we're not like that and that we don't fall into that same pattern. And so we want to, if we follow the Lord, we want to rise above the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, what do we want to do then? Well, we want to pattern our life after the Lord Jesus. Romans 1:16-17. Paul's talking. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God. We don't want to follow the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Paul says the righteousness of God, how to make us right in God's sight, is right here in the gospel. And if we'll read that and follow it, so God's righteousness is God's standard of what is right. It's what constitutes righteousness in the sight of God, and it's revealed to us in the gospel. Not according to the law of Moses, not according to the standard of the scribes and the Pharisees, not according to the standards of men, but it's in the gospel. Romans 10, 1 and 2. I bear them witness, Paul said, that they have a zeal for God. That's great. We need to have zeal for the Lord. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is God's standard of righteousness, and seeking to establish their own standard of righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. That is, they did not accept the gospel of Christ. Well, there is a righteousness according to the law of Moses. What makes a man right according to that law? There is a righteousness according to the scribes and the Pharisees. There is a righteousness according to man, what man thinks is right. And then there is the righteousness of God. And that's given to us in the Scriptures, and that's Christianity. World doesn't need a new religion. A lot of folks seem to think it does and want to change the gospel of Christ, but the world doesn't need a new religion. It simply needs to accept the teaching of Christ, become a child of God, according to the gospel, according to the Scriptures, and then live by it. Live every day by it, and let God's Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. If we'll do that, the Lord will bless us, and we can rise above that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight and you want to come to Him, you believe that He's the Son of God and you're ready to confess that and to be buried with Him in baptism on a repentance, wonderful time to do that. You know you can do that any time, but wouldn't this be a good time? Everything's ready. If you need to come back to the Lord, you can do that if you're a wayward child. We're going to sing this song, Would You Come, as we stand and sing.